think we could have had two better songs for today than those. Thank you so much, Kevin. If you have your Bible there at home, you need to open it up to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And just leave it open there and follow along with me. I've been preaching through this book now for several weeks. And God just knew where we'd be today and where we needed to be at. So he's put us here at chapter 3. Many of you know your Bible, know what this text is about. There's a repeated word in this text, and the repeated word is time. And that tells us what the text is about. I don't know how it could be more timely than today. Then Solomon struggled with the purpose of life, the meaning of life. And I often wondered if he was here today, what he would think about this if he thought the things in his life and what he had seen were difficult. I wonder how he would navigate these waters. It certainly has application for us today. How many times have you heard, "I've never seen a time like this"? How many people have said that? Have you said it yourself? "I've never seen a time like this." We hear other people say, you know, no one can avoid time. What time is it? Where did the time go? Not enough time in a day. Make the most of your time or my time. When will my time come? If you listen closely, a lot of this language and sentence that was used talk about time. And that's what Solomon's going to address here today in Ecclesiastes 3. Solomon reminds us, like the phrase from a song, "The times they are a-changing," that they're certainly changing, and they're changing quickly. Solomon is going to remind us, to everything there is a season. Now that word season means an appointed time. And a time, and that word time means a measurable period in which things happen. He's going to say there is a season and a time to every purpose or everything under the sun. Let's look at the text together this morning. Ecclesiastes 3, we'll read through verse 14. "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him." We pray that God would certainly add his blessing to the reading of his word today. If you notice in the text this morning, Solomon gives us 14 pairs of times. Some are straightforward, unavailable, unavoidable. We understand them clearly. Some, the application then would certainly be different than our application today, but they still apply. And man, in a time like this, you're going to see how they apply. He starts off in verse 2 with the first one. A time to born, a time to be born, and a time to die. And we say, yes, we would agree with that. These are divine appointments. The psalmist in Psalm 139:16 said, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." That time of birth is set. And I believe that time of death, when it's ordained by God, is unavoidable. You cannot prevent it. But I also believe you can hasten death. And one way we can do that in this day and time is not to listen to the authorities. We could hasten our death. We could hasten somebody that's very vulnerable's death. So we need to be smart now to save lives. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. Now, that which is planted, we that are farmers, and that's what I did most of my life, we understand this scenario. We understand that now in the spring is a time to plant. But it says a time to pluck up what was planted. This may not necessarily mean harvest. I know when harvest comes or grew cabbage, there's a time to spring you planted. About 75 to 90 days later, you harvested those cabbage. But this seems to imply something else. It seems to imply getting rid of the bad. We also understand as farmers that the frost and freeze can come and ruin a crop. I know one year we had about 10 acres of cabbage set below the mountain. Frost came, had to disc them up and start over. I see the guys that have orchards. When the trees no longer produce fruit, they tear them down, cut them down, and replant new. So that might have a little more meaning that we want to think a time to plant and a time to pluck up. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Now is a time, brothers and sisters, to build each other up. Everyone has their opinion on how to go forward, how to navigate these uncharted waters, and I respect that. I understand that. Now, I want us all to remember, again, these are uncharted waters. And during this time, let's value each other. Let's build each other up. There may be decisions and comments made we disagree with, but let's value the person behind the comment, behind the decision. There may be churches even meeting today. One may be closed, one may be open. I value those pastors. I value those people. I kind of question maybe the thinking this through. I'm going to err on the side of safety, but yet I value those people as people that God has made. So this is a time I think we need to build each other up and not tear one another down. The next two seem to go together in verse 4. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. They seem to be the human response to the ones in the verse 2 and verse 3. That's how we respond to those activities that were named there. It's either time to weep, laugh, a time to mourn, or time to dance. Verse 5, he continues, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. You know, as farmers, one of the jobs I hated was hauling rocks. You know, we would pick them up. It was back-breaking work. It was dirty work. We'd go dump them in a rock pile. And after a while, somebody would come by and say, Wendell, can I buy that rock pile off of you? I said, man, are you nuts? I mean, I would give them to you for nothing. And then they would take that and build a beautiful wall around their house, build a beautiful foundation, use it for borders. So I understand there's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. And now this one, I think today, has a whole new meaning. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There was a time to embrace before the coronavirus. We were shaking hands. We were hugging. And now, after the coronavirus, social distancing is the norm. We want to 6 foot apart. So I just wonder about this and the implication, the application for today, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Right now is a time to refrain from embracing. We understand that. He goes on in verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. We can look at today's stock market. 401ks, our annuities, Gary. And we understand there have been some good times. Man, I was getting excited looking at that. The numbers were growing, but now, not so much. So we understand a time to get and a time to lose. And we got to be able to ride out all these storms. You're going to see Solomon say that here in just a moment. He goes on to say a time to keep and a time to cast away. Again, I think of the people, how much toilet paper can you use? You know, this time to keep, but people hoarding stuff and just stockpiling it and bringing it in. You know, in about a year, all that will show up at the yard sale when it's time to cast away. And it has more application than that. A time to keep. keep. It's a time to keep godliness. It's time to keep our senses about us. It's a time to use common sense. And I think it's a time to cast away sins that so easily beset us, those things that would drag us down, those things that sometimes adversity exposes. We need to be careful and cast those away. He goes on in verse 7, a time to rend, that means tear, and a time to sow. Now, in Solomon's day and time, this would refer to somebody dying. There'd be a time to mourn. And in that culture, they would mourn by tearing their clothes, by ripping their clothes. And then when the healing process began, they would sew those clothes back up. Our heart breaks for those that have a loss during this time, when it's got to be just a private service, no one there to comfort them, no one down to even wrap their arms around them during this time, just going to a graveside service or an online service. It's just a family there and the pastor. So all these things have new meaning for us here this morning. It says a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Again, I'm just going to bring it home for us here today. This is really something hard for us to learn. Many of us are not qualified to speak on this subject, on this virus. We need to listen to the medical people, the government authorities who do know what we should do, and listen to them. I am not qualified to speak to this virus, but they are. It's a time for me to be silent and a time for them to speak. You know, the greatest thing we could do with our mouth this morning, though, is found in Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and tell others about it. If you've already been saved, that's what we can do with our mouth during this time. People are sometimes frightened, searching, looking for meaning, looking for something to hold on to. What a golden opportunity to share the gospel. What a golden opportunity to say, well, I've got a peace. I'm going to trust God. If they ask me about that peace, I can share with my mouth. That's the one thing we can do with our mouth that has eternal value today. Some of these things we say and do are just poof, they're away with the wind. Verse 8 says, a time to love and a time to hate. A time for and every emotion in between, I believe, right now. We're just riding a roller coaster of emotions. We are to love righteousness, I think, and we are to hate sin and its consequences. There's a lot of broad applications here, but this is a time to love. This is a time for us to encourage. We can do that by phone, here to church. Our folks are calling folks, checking on them, how we can help you. Do you need medicine? Can we go to the pharmacy for you? How are you with groceries? Can we help you? I think this time of loving one another is demonstrated by our ladies or men, anybody that can sew. You're at home. Man, we can crank these out by the hundred. It shows our love. Now is a time to love one another. It talks about a time of war and a time of peace, a time to take up arms and a time to lay the arms down. And it talks about really, tells us every activity has its time. It has its time. If you notice in verse 9 of our text, he ends with the word profit. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? The word profit is mentioned several times in the text. Not so much in chapter 3, but out throughout Ecclesiastes. It's mentioned a lot. Solomon seems to struggle with this. The richest man in the world is saying, well, is there any gain in this? Is there any use? Is all this meaningless? Is it worth it, is really what he's saying? Is it worth it to ride this roller coaster of emotions, to live in a world like this? Then in verse 10, we see Solomon brought back to God. God enters the discussion again. He enters the picture, and now you'll see Solomon with a different perspective, a new perspective. You see the phrase in verse 10, God hath given. God hath given. And I believe that makes Solomon stop and think that everything he's talked about here is ordained from God, the good and the bad. Man's life is a gift from God, and it's up to us what we do with it. Every season and every time that's mentioned, and every season and time since then, is from God. It's a gift from Him. You may say, even now? Even now? If you go on in verse 11, it says, He made everything beautiful or appropriate in his time. Now, be careful there. It's easy to read it in its time, but it's not read that way. It's in his time. He will make everything beautiful and appropriate. Sometimes we forget that God is accomplishing his plan, his divine purpose, not ours. We ask, how could the death of a loved one be beautiful? Well, it opens the door to heaven. How could 9/11 be beautiful or appropriate? The churches were full. How could sickness reaching rock bottom be beautiful? Many times it drives us to God. When you hear somebody's testimony, it's then that they turn to God. How could this coronavirus and all it has affected be beautiful? I read an old quote, and man, it's dated, but man, it has application for us today. And I think we'll help answer that question. What could be beautiful about this virus? It read this way. Quite frankly, our problem's not that we focus our attention on the wrong thing. Or let me start over. Quite frankly, our problem is that we focus our attention on the wrong thing. We see the fuzzy, ugly cocoon. God plans and sets in motion the butterfly. We see the painful, awful process. He is producing the value of the product. We see today. He is working on forever. We get caught up in the wrapping. He focuses on the gift, the substance down inside. We look at the eternal. We look at the external. He emphasizes the internal. He makes everything beautiful in its time, including your loss, your hospital experience, your failures, your brokenness, your battles, your fragmented dreams, your lost romance, your heartache, your illness. Yes, even your terminal illness. And one more word on this. God wouldn't say everything if he didn't mean everything. That includes whatever you're going through. He makes it beautiful in its time. Without God, it is purposeless and profitless, miserable and meaningless. With him, it will ultimately make sense. Isn't that a timely word? I mean, that's from 20, 25 years ago. Gosh, what a word for us today. I found it written years ago, but I thought you might enjoy that because it just has an application, I think, for us today. This verse also says, and this verse 11 is just packed here, no one can find out the work of God. Need to hear that today. No one can find out the work of God. There are some things that we'll never know or understand, no matter how hard we try. And this virus right now may be one of those things. Again, in verse 11, God says, God has set the world, or better translated, eternity in their heart. There's something beyond this life, something more. This world will never satisfy us, not Solomon, not anyone. We are a child of God being prepared for an eternal home. There's something in us that longs for that home after this life. Jesus said in John 14, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There is something God-given placed inside of us that longs for something eternal. He goes on in verses 12 and 13, since we cannot figure out all these things, we should enjoy what we do know, what we can understand, and do good in our lifetime. Great opportunities right now to do good, to check on the folks around you, to volunteer to help make these masks, or whatever it may be. There's a great opportunity now to show the love of God. Then he finishes up in verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. There seems to be a permanency to what God does. And there is a permanency about what we do for God. There'll be treasure in heaven for those that navigate these uncharted waters well. Matthew 6:20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. It says in one place that gold and silver will survive and the stubble will be burned up. It also tells that our works will follow us in Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Nothing can be added to or taken away from what God does. And so it is with salvation. Nothing can be given or taken away from what Jesus did on the cross. It was all sufficient. It is all that we need. You may say, why this difficulty then? Why this coronavirus? You know, people in old time didn't understand the plan of God until the veil was rent. And they didn't see had access through his son, Jesus Christ, through his blood. They didn't understand it. You see the valleys that we live in, they join the mountains together that we can better celebrate them. The fog here at Fancy Gap makes us appreciate the sun. The cold makes us appreciate the heat. So God has a plan, and it is some of a roller coaster through life. The quicker you accept that, the better you could navigate these uncharted waters. God wants us to be dissatisfied without him. Do you hear me? He wants us to be dissatisfied without him. That's why God placed eternity in our hearts, so that we'd seek him and long for him. And this morning, there is one more time that we need to consider, a time to reject and a time to accept. Which will it be? Which will it be? Is that eternity that God placed in your heart this morning seeking him? Is it calling him to you? Do you know there's something more out there? You've been looking for it, you've been searching for it, you've been yearning for it, but you have yet turned your life over to Christ. These seasons, these changes, lets us know, I think, that better days are coming. There are better days coming for you if you'll accept Christ as your Savior. We need to remember this morning that there is a virus that has a 100% death rate. That's sin. That's sin. Very few will die from this virus, statistics say, but sin says all will die. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we don't have to wait for a cure. We don't have to wait for some lab to come up with a cure. It is here. His name is Jesus. You can accept him this morning by just praying a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sins and save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you do that, that eternal that you've been longing for will be yours to claim one day. And you about laying up treasures in heaven. If you made a decision this morning to follow Christ, by all means, let us know. Go on Facebook, call, text, however, the staff here. We'd love to pray with you and guide you through this walk and help you get started in your Christian walk. It's been a great pleasure to be with you here this morning and look into Scripture. I pray this has been a help to you. It really opened my eyes that God had us in this text in this day. So God bless you for all you do. I'm going to call Pastor Gary up now, and he is going to come share just a few closing words with you and any other announcements you may need to hear. Again, thank you so much.
Pastor Wendell, thank you so much for those timely words. That's definitely words that we need to hear, that we need to apply to our life. This morning, as Pastor Wendell has just mentioned to you, I'm going to give you a couple things. Then I'll step down from the podium so I can turn my phone back to the screen so we can zoom in a little bit closer so you can see our email address, our phone number, that you can reach out to either one of us with. We would love to, as Pastor Wendell's already said, if you come to accept Jesus as your Savior today, nothing would excite us any more than to get to hear that. Also, church family, I just wanted you to know I have received word that some of you did not get the call out that we sent out this week. Apparently, there was some issue with that. If you did not get the call this week, would you please send an email to me so that I can make sure and go back and check our call out list to see what's going on? Also, folks, For those of you who are worshiping at home and who cherish getting to see our prayer list and our nursing home list so you can pray for those folks, we have set that up online. It is locked down to only church members. And so if you did not get the call out, on that call out, we gave you the password so you could access that page. If you did not get that, please send me an email so I can add you to the list and send you the password as well. Again, thank you so much. I know that there probably were some technical difficulties. I saw some folks saying, I can't hear, I can't do this. We are working. This is a work in progress for us. This is actually only the second time that Skyview has officially live streamed a service. So just know, just hang in there with us. We'll get this process down pat. Now I'm going to go back and focus on our screen with our email and password, our email, just a second.